I love that video because I think it paints an incredible portrait of the church. Obviously, the red tractor represents the church. And the church, for many years, has always been really good at taking care of its own people. I think that's a part of the responsibility that we have as a church. The manual in the story represents the Bible. And when you look into the Bible and we look into the pages of Scripture, we see that in the Bible it tells a compelling story about not just a church, but an unstoppable church, an unstoppable force that God had brought together to, again, move the kingdom forward. We're called to be a movement. It's not just about taking care of our own, which again is a part of our responsibility, but it's also to take care of those around us. In fact, if we look at the modern parable here, it tells us that that village, once they began to realize that the manual that they were using is correct and they were able to fix the red tractor, they had more food than they even knew what to do with for themselves. And so what did they start to do? They packed it up and they sent it out. I would love for us to have so much. And I'm not talking about just financial resources. I'm talking about just in general, the opportunities that we have to take what God has given us and to multiply it throughout this area. The church today, unfortunately, is not an unstoppable force. Unfortunately, today, as I stand before you, I can tell you that there are many churches that are very stoppable. We're always one family away, or people that are transitioning away from struggling in ministries. We're always concerned or worried about giving and if we're going to have enough to do what God has called us to do. And there's a lot of churches that end up packing it in because they weren't the unstoppable force that we read in Scripture. It takes faith. It takes trust, and it takes vision. King Solomon wisely said in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. The question isn't if the church has vision. The question is, whose vision is it? Whose vision is it? If you know me for any length of time, you'll know that I have zero desire to be the king of this castle. I have no desire to be the king of this castle. In fact, I don't ever refer to the church as a castle. And I'm not here, and we're not here to develop more and more castles. We're here to build the kingdom. Instead, I want to be a servant. I want to take the towel that Jesus took. And even on the night that he was betrayed, he washed the feet, even the feet of those who would later betray him. That's what it means to be a servant in the kingdom. And this philosophy doesn't just guide my leadership, but it also guides the vision of the church. It's not a matter of if Pastor Steve had a vision. What really matters is, what vision do you have for the church, God? 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. I believe that vision should be communal. I believe that the vision of the church should go well beyond the leader. I think that one of four things is eventually going to happen. You've heard me say this before. I'm either going to die, resign, retire, or you're going to kick me out. But I will not be the last pastor of this great church. There will be other pastors that will come behind me. And the amazing thing that I get to share with you today is that the vision of the church is not built on me. I could leave tomorrow and this vision will continue. Because the vision isn't about me. And it's not about what I brought to the table. It's about a team of people. So the question we have to ask is, well, how did we get here? Well, like I said, we had a team. In September, the staff fasted and prayed for God to reveal to us who needs to be at that table. And after fasting and after prayer, we assembled a group of people and we reached out to them in October and we said, would you consider being a part of this team? And I'd like to thank our vision team members. And if you're here this morning, I'm gonna say your name. I'm gonna ask you to stand. And I was gonna make them come up here and actually sit up here the whole entire time. Because if you don't like the vision, you can blame them, you know? just teasing, just teasing. Because again, we were united together in this. So I want to say thank you to Brenda Cancel. And I want to say, yes. And well, you know what we'll do? We'll hold the applause until the end. That way everybody can be recognized and you can come up and get your diploma. So I want to thank Brenda Cancel, Andrew Bronson, Randy Lowen, Daniel Heath, Dan Coughlin, Linda Washington, Justin James, Pastor Sally, Pastor Katie, and Pastor Tom. Can we give a hand to these folks? Thank you, thank you. They sacrificed a lot. We met for close to 7 months together, and many times it was 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, they were coming in, and we were meeting together, and we were fasting and praying and deliberating and seeking God and really praying that God would have his way with us. If you notice, that team was comprised of people that are different ages, different ethnicities, even different years of experience at Trinity. It ranged from a person who was at the table who had been at Trinity for 8 months and a person at the table who had been at Trinity for over 27 years. We had a wide variety and a mix of people, and on October 27th and 28th, we had a vision discerning weekend where on Friday night, all we did was gather here in the sanctuary and we just prayed. We just prayed and we sought the Lord. We prayed for his glory to fall upon us and his anointing to rest on us, that there would be clarity in the vision, that there wouldn't be any confusion, that we would all pull together. And I can tell you that incredibly powerful things happened that Friday night. We knew that God was up to something and we couldn't wait to see what it was. So we showed up on Saturday morning and we had to do pre-work. We used a resource called God Dreams. It's actually a resource written by a gentleman named Will Mancini. I know that means nothing to you, but I want to just share that. And we used this resource to help us find our DNA. I love God Dreams because it doesn't tell you, oh, if you want to be a great church, do X, Y, Z. It doesn't create a cookie cutter that says that, you have to do it like this church or that church. It says for us to find the DNA that God has woven into our particular people for this particular time and to go and making disciples. And what does that look like for Trinity? So we did this pre-work, and that pre-work was really important because it was going to be helpful to know where we were at in unity together. Well, we had 10 people around the table and each person started to report. Out of all the templates, there were 12 templates that we could have, through a process of elimination, chosen. And we got around the table and there was two that everybody had chosen. 10 people, all different walks of life, all different experiences at Trinity, and we all were unified where God was taking us. That's God's vision for the church. The two templates that were chosen was, the first one was need adoption. Need adoption simply means meeting a specific need to a specific people. What needs can we meet? So that's the first one, need adoption. The second one is presence manifestation. I know it's a big fancy title. It means basically we are not going to move forward unless we believe God has brought it to us. It's through prayer that will help us to determine where God is leading us. Manifestation is just a really fancy word of how God shows up. Moses in the burning bush, Jonah in the whale. You know, these are manifestations of God showing up in order to communicate a message. It's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night as he leads the Israelites through the wilderness. That's what we want to see. We want to see God show up in incredible ways. God has given me a vision for Trinity. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't tell the vision team what it was. A couple of times throughout the years, I've explained it to the church board. And I wanted the church board to know that this is just something that we need to begin to pray about and to wrestle with, because I felt like this is where God was leading us. And there were actually points along the journey, I'll tell you, that I got it wrong. I know. Is that Well, wait a minute. If it's God's vision, how did you get it wrong? Because, you know, the truth is we can still put a little bit of our humanness into what God wants to do through his holiness. So I began to, again, fast and pray, and I went on a sabbatical journey. So as you know, the church gifted me last summer with a sabbatical that actually started 1 year ago tomorrow. So 1 year ago tomorrow, I left for 70 days to seek the Lord, to spend time with my family, and to recharge. Now, I'm thankful that many of you have commented that after getting back from sabbatical, you can see a difference. And you can see that God is doing a work. In fact, you even said, my preaching is better. Praise the Lord. I know you didn't think it was possible, but just teasing. So on that sabbatical journey, on May 25th, 2017, God met with me when I was in a week of solitude. I was by myself, and I want to take a few seconds, and I want to read from you from my journal. So I kept a journal every day of how God was teaching me. And this is from May 25th. This is day 4 of 70 of my sabbatical time. A theme so far in my reading has been trust. When you're reading the story of Jeremiah, it's very apparent that he needed to trust God. Even in the midst of God dismantling Judah and Jerusalem, I believe, we have to trust God even in the midst of God dismantling Judah and Jerusalem. I believe I've always trusted God, but I'm also realizing how often I've trusted not just in man's strength, but in my own strength. We tend to forget that we can get pretty far in our humanness. But the lesson God is teaching me today is to truly see the difference between being blessed versus cursed through trust in God. I'm going to invite you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. And if you're using the Pew Bible in the pew rack in front of you, it's on page 586. And again, I want to reiterate to you that those Pew Bibles, through power of one, are gifts. If you need a Bible, or if you know somebody who needs a Bible, we want you to take that with you today. It's a gift from us, and again, it's through power of one that we're able to supply these Bibles as gifts when people take them. And again, we want you to take them, and we'll replace them. Don't worry about that. So where I was reading was in Jeremiah 17, and we're going to read starting at verse 5. And the word says this: this is what the Lord says, cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness and in an uninhabited, salty land. Where do you put your trust this morning? Have you put your trust in mere humans? Or are you putting your trust in God? We can't rely on human strength. You've heard me say this often, and I even repeated it last week. If you put your trust in me, I'll fail you every time. But if we put our trust in God, he'll never let us down. So that's the beauty of this passage. It's telling us, where are we putting our trust? If we turn away from God, if we look at the results, if we turn away from God and rely on human strength, we'll be like a stunted shrub. It means we'll stop growing. It'll feel like we'll feel the weight and the heaviness and the heat of the desert. There'll be no hope for the future. And we'll be operating out of a barren land. I certainly don't want Trinity to live under that curse. Because that's what it says, that we're cursed if we live that way, relying on our humanness. But he continues, verse 7. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. The incredible unity of what we experienced was seeing that we kept coming back to this idea of roots and growth and seed and trees and even riverbank and multiplication and reproduction. These were all the things that as we met together in that room, that God was seeding into each of the hearts of the people at that table. And they had no idea that God had already met with me through that process. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8 is an incredible reminder that we need to be challenged to put our trust in God. If we make the Lord our hope and confidence, then we will bloom and grow no matter what the environment looks like, no matter how harsh it gets, no matter how heavy the weight is, no matter how dry the land is, your roots will grow down into the living water. It's all about where are we putting our trust. If we put our trust in humanness, we'll be like a stunted shrub. And this isn't just for us as a church. This is for us as individuals. Where are we placing our trust? Because I want to live in the blessing, don't you? I want to know, because listen, the one thing that I recognize through the scripture is that the heat doesn't go away. You notice that it's talking about the blessing and the curse, and it talks about the heat. The heat didn't go away. So we have to put our hope and our confidence and our trust in God because we need those roots to grow down into the water. When we trust and turn towards God, we're like trees planted along a river bank, roots that reach deep. And the environment, it may still be in drought, but we and you can still produce fruit. The difference is we're not worried about the heat because our leaves stay green and we never stop producing fruit because, again, our roots go deep into the water.
In the Bible, the word seed is used 279 times. It shows us that from small things, great things can grow. For inside every acorn is a mighty oak tree anticipating its birth. The question isn't if, but when. It's commonly understood that the higher a tree grows, the deeper its roots must grow into the soil. Like the roots that support the weight of a tree, prayer has always been an important stabilizing aspect here at Trinity. Prayer deepens our reach into the soil of our community. It's through prayer that God has the power to speak into our collective story. Without a firm root structure, the massive weight of a tree will cause it to topple in a strong wind. The same is true in a human life and in the life of a church. Prayer provides roots, a structure, and a timing for growth. Oak trees take decades to mature. Depending on their species, some oak trees are 20 to 30 years old before they produce even their first acorns. Here at Trinity, we haven't lost sight of the responsibility of being planted 27 years ago at 1451 Raymond Drive. Our current root system consists of places like Chanticleer Lakes, The Terraces, and our Brookdale community. Our commitment is to continue to offer relevant, life-giving ministries to our community. But with God's call to pray deeper, this naturally leads us to now reach wider. We've sensed God's call and leading to reach the area known as the Fox Valley. Settled in the early 1800s, the Fox Valley has been most identified by a winding river called the Fox River. Winding through the valley, the cities along the Fox River make it one of the most densely populated areas in the western suburbs of Chicago. With a total population of over 1 million people, and with over 48% considered unreached, we recognize that the fields are ripe unto harvest. We are excited about the opportunity to follow God as He pushes our roots even wider. Our goal by reaching wider is to encourage others to become rooted in Christ. The ancient prophet Jeremiah said, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." Join us as we lean into God's call to pray deeper and reach wider.
Our vision theme is rooted. Our vision statement is identified through deeper prayer. Our goal over the next 5 years is to reach wider by launching 5 need-based ministries, resulting over the next 20 years in a rooted network of ministries across the Fox Valley area. We want to see ministries expand and grow to the point where we create a network called the Fox Valley Network, where we can see where God is leading. And simply put, we're going to pray deeper and reach wider. We believe that we're going to reach wider the deeper that we pray. And here's the thing, praying deeper and reaching wider is not a new concept or philosophy at Trinity. When we talked about finding the vision for the future, we didn't have to look very far because it was already woven into the DNA of our past. You see, in around 1987, there was a small struggling church with a couple of families. It was located at the corner of Naperville and Warrenville Road. But this didn't stop Al and Ardell Kochman from praying that God would rescue the church. Ardell would walk around the building during her lunch hour praying that God would open the doors and more people would come in so that they could have a greater impact and influence on their area. Al would get up at 6 a.m., as early as 6 a.m., and he would go to the church and he would open up the building and he would go in and he would pray almost every day that the church would continue to reach wider. Beginning in November of 1988, the district superintendent met with the board of this struggling church, and he said to them that unless Chris and Jerry Carnes accept coming as the pastor here, we're going to close the church. Al said with confidence, they'll come. So in the end of 1988 of November, Jerry and Chris Carnes came, and within 10 years, the church took off. They sold their building. They moved into a school. They started a capital campaign and raised funds to plant a church here at 1451 Raymond Drive. Church, we are here because in our past and our history, we are a church that through deep prayer, God uses to reach wider. I'm going to invite the Kochman family to come up here. This is actually a very special day because Al is with us. And so if you all would come up here. So it's going to take him a couple of minutes. Today is actually John's birthday. And John's birthday wish was for his dad to be here for Vision Sunday. And so they actually, they got Al here. He has to be transported wherever he goes. And so they were able to transport him to get him here today. And what they don't know is last week we shot a video of the Kochman family planting that oak tree. Did you all catch that? They planted that oak tree on our property as a part of our commitment to be rooted. But what they don't know is that actually we are dedicating that tree to Al and Ardell Kochman. So Ardell, if you want to come around here. So this is a certificate of tree planting. It says, Trinity Church of the Nazarene hereby dedicates the Kochman tree on this, the 20th day of May, 2018, to Al and Ardell Kochman for their faith and trust in the Lord and their obedience to God in praying deeper so that the church could reach wider. So if you guys would look right here. Aaron's there. And we're going to look right, and she's going to take some pictures for us. Good? Awesome. And so, Sarah, I'm going to give this to you. And last week when we had them, we shot this video of them planting this sapling, right? Is that what it would be called? I'm learning a lot about trees. They didn't know that we were doing this. And we knew that there was one person that was missing out of that video, and that was Al. And so when we knew that Al was going to be here today, and we already knew that we wanted to dedicate that tree is going to stand for a long, long time. And we're going to remember. And we're going to have a plaque out there as well that's going to show that it's dedicated to the legacy of Al and Ardell Kochman. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your deep prayers. Because of your deep prayers, thousands of people have come to Christ because of your faithfulness to pray deeper so that the church could reach wider. Can we thank them one more time? The amazing thing about an oak tree, I don't know if you knew this or if you heard it in the video, but depending on the species of oak, it takes 20 to 30 years of maturity before it will produce even its first acorns. We have been here at this location at 1451 Raymond Drive for 27 years. I would say that we have reached the level of maturity where we are ready to start producing acorns. Amen? And it's going to be through deeper prayer. I will confess to you that that coming to Trinity in 2012, I drove up into the parking lot and I saw these big, huge, gargantuan, gnarly trees out front. And I thought to myself, oh man, those things have got to come down. Well, one was really pretty, but the other one was pretty hacked up. And I was like, I don't know if that's our best impression as a church. And we never obviously did that because we were told, the legend is, that the one tree out here is the oldest tree in DuPage County. It is over 150 years old. Oh, man. God knew 150 years ago when that little tree started to bloom and started to grow, that it was going to become a symbol for the reproduction that our church now wants to take into the world. That tree has been struck by lightning. The church has spent thousands of dollars making sure that it is still alive. At one point, I was ready to just put one rusty nail into it. And God just kept saying, it's an important part of who you are. That tree represents so much, and now we get to plant another oak tree. And I love the symbolism of that moment when the Kochmans and John is sharing with them this little tree, and he points over and he says, this little tree one day will look like this. And church, it's not just their story, it's our story. It's through deep prayer that we're going to see God move in powerful ways. Oh, man, sorry. Al and Ardell are two of the major reasons why we're here today. They modeled our vision for us. They prayed deeper so that the church could reach wider, and we're there again. Let's go back to the vision statement. In 5 years, we want to launch 5 need-based ministries. The number one question that comes from that is, what is a need-based ministry? Well, the Nazarene Church actually has language for what we're using as a need-based ministry. The criteria is actually what is called a church-type mission. A church-type mission has these things as criteria. It has to have a leader, a regular meeting in time and place, an alignment with the mission of the church, and make disciples. Now, I want you to hear this morning that we are not launching a church planting initiative where we're going to launch 5 church plants. We pray in faith that maybe some of the initiatives that we launch will come into churches. And maybe, yes, God is going to put it on our heart to plant churches, but we didn't want to be narrow-minded in where God is leading us and how he's leading us. So we're going into this organically, growing like a seed in the ground. Then through deep prayer, we believe God is going to reveal to us not just what to do, but where to do it. It's ministries like United and Unique and GEMS, CORE, which is our ministry on Thursday nights to our community kids, Harbor Chase. These are all ministries that fit into that vision. I want you to think about the unlimited opportunities when you think all we need is a leader, a regular meeting place and time, an alignment with the mission of the church, and making disciples. That's it. That's it. It's the original movement of the church. That's all God asked for the church to do. And that's what we're asking you to do. And so we want to launch these need-based ministries. We see God opening the door to planting more than just churches, but planting life-giving, sustaining, and disciple-making ministries both here and throughout the Fox Valley area. Now the question is, why the Fox Valley area? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me give you 583,685 reasons. That's a lot of reasons, right? This is the number of people in DuPage, Kane, and Kendall County that were listed as having no religious affiliation. They're what we call in the census and data world, nuns. Not N-U-N-S, but nuns, N-O-N-E-S. Zero religious affiliation. In DuPage County, this past year, I want to put this slide up to show you the numbers. In DuPage County, there's 929,368 people in our population. In the year 2000, there was 302,456 that were indicated as nuns. And look at 2010. That number went down. Praise the Lord. Isn't that amazing? So now out of the total population, now again, the next census will be taken in 2020. So we'll have new information. So this is based off of the census data, the last census of 2010. It meant that 29% of DuPage County was listed as nuns, having no religious affiliation. In Kane County, 531,715. Kane County is primarily the county that God is calling us to. If you look at the Fox River, and if you look at the Fox Valley region, what they call the Fox Valley area, Kane County comprises the most of it. So the data in Kane County and the data in Kendall County are important. If you look at the data here, you'll notice that the number went from 142 to 247. And right now in Kane County, 47 or 48% of the people in the county are listed as no religious affiliation. That's almost half of the county. And then if we look at Kendall County, it almost gets scarier. Because if you look at the percentage there, it's 66% of Kendall County. We understand the responsibility to be here and planted at 1451 Raymond Drive. But we also see God calling us and compelling us to move into the Fox Valley area. Just to give you a highlight, Aurora is the second largest city in Illinois. 201,000 people. It's the second largest city in Illinois. But understand this, out of 201,000 people, 45% of Aurora is Hispanic. This means that there is 89,586 people in the city of Aurora that are Hispanic. We understand that we have to know where God is calling us to. And there's going to be multiple opportunities for us to launch ministries that are going to be need-based to help people, regardless of their race, age, or gender. And so we want to come alongside the city of Aurora. But even if you look at Oswego, just to give you a comparison, there's three times the amount of Hispanics in Aurora as there are in the entire population of Oswego. The population of Oswego is 34,521. 78% of Oswego is white. So this helps us to understand that we have to, our ministries have to be as diverse as the areas that we're going into. We can't be one-sided. We can't be one-minded. We have to have the mind of Christ, and we have to be anointed by the Holy Spirit to know this is the way that we should go. Think about Paul being called, the man from Macedonia called Paul in a vision. It was the first time that the church was going to be going into Europe. The Holy Spirit called Paul to go into Europe. We believe the Holy Spirit is going to call us to go into places like Aurora and like Geneva and Batavia and Montgomery and Aurora and North Aurora and Yorkville. We believe that God is going to do that work and that we're going to have a chance to go and to be a part of the work there. Well, I'm pleased to announce to you that we are launching our first need-based ministry in January of 2019. It's a little ministry that we call Celebrate Recovery. One of the most devastating things that I've had to do as your pastor since being here in 2012, was 2 years ago standing before you and telling you that we were putting this ministry on pause. And the reason was because we were trying to figure out what is the healthiest way for us to continue to do this ministry. And truthfully, you have to know that the hardest part for us was recognizing that in order for us to be healthy, we had to stop doing something. And through that time, we fasted, we prayed, I've met with leaders. And the difference was that we were doing Celebrate Recovery. It was a ministry we did with the church instead of it being a ministry of the church. I mean, we're not Trinity Church with the Nazarene. That's not our title. Because if we were just with the Nazarene, that would mean one thing, but we're Trinity Church of the Nazarene, which means we're about something. We're about what God is doing in the redemptive work. So a church with Celebrate Recovery is a church that has that ministry almost as a silo that's outside of itself. But a church of, so this is the with model, but a church of is CR moves in and it becomes a part of who we are. It's not a us, them, it is an us. And there's been a lot of maturity that has had to happen in that process. Many of you shared on the day that I announced that we were going to have to put a hold on Celebrate Recovery that you were devastated. And if you remember, my comment to you was, don't worry, when we bring it back, I'll be calling you. Because that's the truth. The truth is it's going to take all of us working together. There's going to be certain aspects of Celebrate Recovery that you won't be a part of. But there's many aspects of Celebrate Recovery that you can be a part of. And we're going to need everybody to have a heart in the mind of Christ in order to get there. So Tim Sims is going to serve and has agreed to serve as the executive director of Celebrate Recovery. That's exciting. Now, the thing with that is Tim is going to be the executive director, which means he's going to oversee a leadership team. He's not going to be in the same role that he was in last time. This time, he's going to be overseeing an executive team that's going to make Celebrate Recovery function a lot smoother and also with higher accountability to make sure that we don't get to the place where we have leaders that are just constantly burning out because they're the only ones that are serving in those areas. And the question is, why CR? I'm a chaplain for the Naperville Police Department. I don't know if you knew that or not. And in my role as a chaplain, we actually have the opportunity now to go into the police department one Wednesday a month, and we pray over the city, and we pray over the police force, and we pray over the all the things that are happening in our police department. And we met with Chief Marshall. And I want you to hear the top three things that Chief Marshall shared as his concerns for the city of Naperville. These were his top three concerns. Number one, mental health-related calls. We have more of our officers are actually going to mental health calls than they've ever gone before. If their wellness checks last year were over 2,000 for the city. So that means that an officer has to go and knock on the door just to do a check and make sure a person is okay. And he said that the mental health calls that they're receiving are so hard and time-consuming that it's taking away from their opportunity to serve better in the community. And so he wanted us to pray for that. The second one was the opiate and heroin abuse and epidemic. I'm going to give you some statistics with that in a minute. The third thing that he asked for us to pray for is the stress that is being experienced in our children and youth. And he specifically noted teen suicide. These were the top three things. He could have prayed for more officers. He could have prayed for better law enforcement. He could have prayed for a lot of different things. But the one thing that he realizes, and you'll hear them say this around the department, we cannot police ourselves out of this issue. They are recognizing the necessity for churches like ours to come alongside and to join with them so that we can help ease what's happening, even just here in our own city of Naperville. Now, I don't want you to think that when I'm talking about these statistics that Celebrate Recovery is just for substance abuses. You've heard me say this before. Celebrate Recovery goes far, far beyond that. In fact, the substance abuse portion of Celebrate Recovery is very small in comparison to the other areas of hurts, habits, and hang-ups. So how many of you over the last year have experienced a hurt? Just raise your hand. You've experienced a hurt. Yeah, absolutely. How many of you experienced a habit that you would want to quit? Yeah, that's me. And how many of you have ever had a hang-up? Yeah, that's pretty much all of us, right? So that's the core of Celebrate Recovery. We're going to launch a series this fall called I Quit. And in that series, we're going to talk about those things. And we're going to talk about the things that God is calling us to quit so that we can take on a more healthier understanding of who God is calling us to be. So I want you to look at this real quick. Naperville drug statistics. This is heroin use in the city of Naperville. You can see, I want to just point out real quick to you, the difference in 2017 and 18. The reason why the heroin use in 2018, we've already experienced one death. But the reason it's one and not higher is now officers are carrying Narcan. So they're actually now able to revive more people that are experiencing the effects of heroin overdose. So we expect to see the death rate to go down, but the overdose rate is still going to go up. If you look at in 2018, we've already surpassed 2016. Last year, it jumped from 18 overdoses in 2016 to 40. And they see an ever-increasing trend. Our city is trending in the same rate as our nation. And the nation's rate is skyrocketing. If we look at prescription drug overdoses, in 2016, there were 5 deaths and 37 that were considered in an overdose state. Look at the jump between in 2017. We're thankful that there were no deaths, but it went from 37 to 73. This is a staggering number. And again, 2018 is already going to outpace 2016. And we're concerned that it's going to outpace even 2017. God is calling Trinity. Oh, I'm sorry. Here, look at the DuPage County real quick. So DuPage County, this is the statistics. From 2015, there were 51 deaths. In 2016, it went from 51 deaths to 95 deaths. 95. From 51 to 95. And in 2017, it matched 2016 at 95 deaths. God is calling Trinity to be a church that takes these statistics seriously. Last week you heard me talk to you and challenge you. It's time to step up, and not just step up, but step in. I'm not asking all of us to be drug rehabilitation counselors. I'm asking for all of us to take serious that there is an epidemic that's occurring right under our noses. And we have to be a church that recognizes that what is the greatest need. We have to identify the needs around us. And right now, we have identified one of the greatest needs is this. And so we don't want to be a church that turns a blind eye. We want to be a church that recognizes what is the greatest need and that we can offer something like Celebrate Recovery to help and to come alongside. So that's just one opportunity. That's one area. And again, we're not being pigeonholed and saying this is the only thing, but we're saying that for 2019, as we launch and relaunch Celebrate Recovery, we're going to do that recognizing that there's a lot of people in our world, in our area, that are hurting. There's a lot of people that are dealing with habits, and there's a lot of people that have hang-ups, and we are all a part of that. And so we get to unite together in launching that ministry. So here, as I close, this is what you can do. The first thing is pray. That's the first thing that you can do. And I don't want you just to pray. I want you to pray deeper. Pray deeper than you've ever prayed before. Where is God leading you? A lot of this is all going to be unknown. A lot of it's going to be new territory. A lot of it's going to be stepping out in faith. A lot of it's going to come from you. We want to be a church that equips you to go out and to do incredible life-giving ministries wherever it is that God calls us. And so we want you to be a part of that. What would happen if God answered all your prayers from last week? What would have happened if God answered all your prayers from last week? Who would have benefited from your prayers? Well, the reality is a lot of it would have been you. You would have benefited from your prayers from last week. And that's necessarily a bad thing, but I want you to consider this. What if God answered all your prayers from last week? How many new people would be in the kingdom this week? How many new people would be here because you diligently prayed that God would open up their opportunity for them to come to know him? Here's another thing that you can do. You can become a member. It's time to get off the sidelines. It's time to start plugging in. If we all plugged in together, there wouldn't be this massive need to fill some of the voids and some of the places that we need help. And I know you might be saying, well, I don't know what I have to offer. We're going to help you discover that. We're going to help you see where you can plug in. Some of you have got giftings and talents that you can use, and we want you to use those. We don't want you to be in a place where you don't necessarily fit. We want you to find your fit and to get plugged in. In fact, after the service this morning, we have a meet and greet. If you want to hear a little bit more about the church, we want you to come and meet with us in the cafe. We're going to have a short time together of just really fellowship because you're hearing a lot about our DNA and who we are, so we don't need to necessarily go through all of that. But it's a time just to kind of meet with the staff and hear where, you know, how you can plug in. Another way that you can get plugged in even and deeper is to join a life group. Oh, and I missed a daily time with God. I apologize. So we want you to have a daily time with God. Each day, find a time to be able to be quiet and be still before God. And you know, it could be in your car. It could be just when you roll out of bed in the morning. It could be before you go to bed at night. It could be just finding some time just to get into his word. And you say to yourself, well, I don't know where to start, Pastor. Start in John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay, start in the book of John and just begin reading. Just read one chapter a day. Sometimes just read one section of it a day. And just allow it to be able to continually communicate to you. So spending daily time with God. And then join a life group. We believe that life groups are important. They're an important aspect of our church because it's the opportunity that you have to offer care to the people in the congregation. Our staff cannot meet all of your needs. Number one, it doesn't make sense because the church's role is not to come alongside everybody's need and try to perform all these incredible things that we're trying to do. If you look in the scripture, it's the church's opportunity to come alongside of each other and care for one another. So find a life group. And if you don't like your life group, start your own. We'll teach you. We'll train you. We want small groups to happen because it is such an important aspect of growing in a relationship with Christ. Life is better lived in circles. I don't know about you, but you probably don't do life in rows, right? You probably do more life in circles, so we want to encourage you to do that. And then find a place to serve. The church is a movement, and if you're not moving, you're not a part of the movement. So we need you to start moving and become a part of where God is leading. And so lastly, we want you to give. And so there's one more after this too. So lastly, we want you to give. I know what you're thinking, oh, here we go. He's gonna talk about money again. You know, if you heard me this morning, I hope you didn't hear me just talk about I want to squeeze you for money. I hope what you heard is I want you to partner with the church to be a redemptive aspect of our world. I don't want something from you. I want something for you. That's the joy that I get to talk about finances. And so we do need you to give. We need you to give because, you know, the lights don't stay on their own, right? We have bills just like you do. And we don't want to be saddled by all the expenses that it takes. We want to see what we can do and moving forward. Right now, our greatest deficit is our mortgage. Now, I'm pleased to announce to you that our mortgage is under $1 million. That's awesome. It's actually $846,026. $846,026. And so we would love for you to partner with us. And in the fall, we're going to potentially launch a debt reduction campaign. And our goal is to take serious the call to get out of debt, to get out of debt as fast as possible. Because we know that the faster we're out of debt, the more advancing we're going to be able to go. And so we don't want to be saddled by that. So we would love for you to give. We mentioned Power of One. We do need giving in Power of One. Our goal is $40,000 by this time next year. You can help to give to Power of One throughout the entire year. You don't have to do it all at once, but we want you to consider, where is God leading you and how is he leading you to give towards Power of One? Maybe it's a weekly giving or a monthly giving or a yearly. Maybe you do it all in one shot. But we need your help, and if we pull together, we'll be able to meet the goal of $40,000. And the last thing as we close is sharing your faith. We want you to share your faith. How dare we be a church that has the vaccine to save the world, and we refuse to use it? How dare we be a church that has the hope that this world needs, and we don't share it? Scripture tells us, how will they know unless we tell them? That's our role. I want you to get excited about partnering with the church to see where the church is going. We're going to launch 5 new need-based ministries in the next 5 years. And I think 5 is not going to be enough. I think we're going to do more than 5. But our goal is 5. And we're going to see where God takes us and how he leads us. And I want to stand up here every single year and I want to share with you the stories of how God is changing the world through a people called Trinity. Amen?
Amen.
So, will you pray deeper? Will you reach wider? Because it's going to be through deep prayer that God is going to give us the ability to reach wider. Would you stand with me as we close? One of the things that we wanted to do today, and you see these really awesome shirts. Many of you already have them and you have them on. Everybody here gets a shirt. And so again, those are gifts to you. They're in the back as you leave. We have a couple of samples you can hold up. Just FYI, because there has been a question, they are all 100% pre-shrunk cotton, okay? So supposedly they're pre-shrunk. I'm going to take the manufacturer's word for it. And so just a heads up on that. Thank you for being here today. This is the Sunday that's one of many that you're going to continue to hear this vision. This is a vision that's going to carry us for a long time to launch 5 need-based ministries in the next 5 years. And do you believe that with God we can do it? Amen. 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 Good. And thank you for your patience this morning. If you would like to stay for our meet and greet, we would love to have you bring your connection card right around into the cafe, and we will definitely get you a gift this morning and just spend a little bit of time together. We have food as well, light refreshments for you to experience this morning as well. Well, as we close this morning, I just want to pronounce the benediction over you. And in Trinity tradition, I would love for you just to be able to extend your hands and to receive this word this morning. And as you know at church, you can say it with me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.